Well, good morning, everyone. Please turn to 1 Kings chapter 3 this morning. We have a great prayer and a fantastic answer to that prayer by the Lord. And the context is the first year of Solomon's reign, or early in his reign, and he has a request to the Lord for wisdom. And the Lord then responds by this great question: ask, what shall I give you? Great question for us as well, is it not? Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for instructing us, encouraging us, guiding us, and really just above all else, loving us. Thank you for that great gift of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 3 of 1 Kings, we have Solomon requesting wisdom. Verse 1 reads, Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house, and the house of the Lord, and the wall all around Jerusalem. Now we know that in Bible times it was a frequent occurrence for kings to make treaties with their neighboring countries, and having a marriage involved where the king would marry the other king's daughter, and it was a good for both sides in a way. If the king was really, if the daughter was really loyal to the father, to the old king, she could tell him what the new king was up to, and vice versa. If the new wife of the other king, if she loved him more, and would reveal things of the old king, so they liked that. The kingdom was like that, and it tended to keep, at least for that generation, war from being occurring, because you would have going against another nation where maybe your daughter was the queen. You would hesitate about that. But we also see a little problem here with Solomon early on, because that marrying other kings was for the rest of the nations, but it was not for Israel. Israel was to adhere to the law, and the law said not to marry in giving sons or taking daughters from those around them who had different beliefs. If they were Jewish, all right, but otherwise no. And so we see Solomon does not keep that law, even at the beginning here it would seem. However, he starts well. In verse 3 we read, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. That's a beautiful statement. Oh, is that, could that be said of us? That, oh, how we loved the Lord, and we were walking in accordance with the Lord's statutes. But then we have a comma, walking in the statutes of his father David, comma, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Any exceptions to loving the Lord and walking in the statutes of his father David is never good, and we see that he was burning incense at the high places, which apparently David was not doing. We know that that was the practice of the pagans. They would always be worshiping on the high places. We also know that the high place had not really been specified to worship yet in Israel, because it was going to be the temple, although at this particular time the high place was Gibeon, where the tabernacle was. Verse 4 we read, now Solomon went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place, as I mentioned, where the tabernacle was and the altar of burnt offering altar. And we see Solomon doing a glorious thing here. He offers 1,000 burnt offerings, offerings of consecration, on that altar. What a beautiful, beautiful thing between Solomon and his love for the Lord at that point. And we see then at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, listen to this, ask, what shall I give you? What a beautiful thing. Put yourself in Solomon's position for just a moment. He may be 18, 20 years old. He's the king now of a mighty nation, Israel, that God had blessed because of Solomon's father, David. And now Solomon has the reins as king in the nation. God comes to him and says, what shall I give you? Well, let's see what Solomon's prayer was. And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. So we see Solomon does have the awareness that David was great because, and God blessed him because he walked in righteousness and in uprightness of heart. And then Solomon goes on, "You, Lord, have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." And now here's the request. "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in." We can relate to that too so often, can't we? We don't know what to do or how to do it. But then, of course, what do? We can cry out to the Lord for his help, for his wisdom, for his guidance. "I do not know how to come out or go in," in verse 8, "and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted." So he's referring to the nation of Israel here. Now here's his request specifically. "Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil." An understanding heart, that could also be translated a hearing heart or a listening heart. "So therefore, give to your servant an understanding, listening, or a hearing heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Now, verse 10, I really love. It says, "The speech pleased the Lord." How often do you think that is said of our prayers, that it pleased the Lord? It will always please him if we're praying in accordance with his will. But if we're not, then I'm not so sure. "The speech pleased the Lord," that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have not asked this thing, or because you have asked this thing, and number one, have not asked long life for yourself, nor number two, ask riches for yourself, nor number three, have asked the life of your enemies." So those must be the three things that most kings would ask for, and probably the things we ask for too often: long life, riches, and the life of our enemies. So God says, "But instead of those three, you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice." So this pleased the Lord. Then here's the answer to the prayer. "Behold, I," says the Lord, "have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you." So we see here, with regard to wisdom and an understanding heart, there'll be no king before or after Solomon such as will have that wise and understanding heart. Verse 13, "And I've also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among all the kings all your days." Now notice here, he doesn't say in the past, the greatest kings of all time, because David would have been very much like this, maybe even surpassing Solomon. But it says, "all the kings of your days, you will have riches and honor like no one else in your days." Verse 14, a very critical verse, the condition, "So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." So really in the old covenant, we have these conditional promises here that if you obey the Lord, he will bless you. And if you don't obey the Lord, he won't bless you. And we know that Solomon did many things right, but he did many things wrong. He took wives. He multiplied wives. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. We know God really wants one woman and one man in a marriage. And here he had 700. So that didn't go very well. That was one of the requirements of a king. They weren't to multiply wives. They weren't to multiply horses. But Solomon did. They weren't to multiply gold, but Solomon did. They weren't to multiply silver, but Solomon did. So the four basic rules there in Deuteronomy that kings were not to do, Solomon broke every one of those. So we see now, if you walk in my ways as your father walked, then I will lengthen your days. So he did give him a 40-year reign, but he only lived to 70, and he maybe would have lived longer if he would have been in accordance with the Lord. he would have lived much better, because we know most of his life was turned away from the Lord through all of these women that he got involved with, that God said, you get involved with them, they'll turn their hearts from you to their own gods, and that's exactly what happened. Then verse 15, then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream, and he came to Jerusalem from Gibeon, now comes to Jerusalem, and stood before the Ark of the Covenant. So at this time, the tabernacle and the offering altar, burnt offering altar, was in Gibeon, but the Ark of the Covenant had been moved, as you remember, by David to Jerusalem. So now he stands before the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem, and now again he offers up consecrated offerings, peace offerings, and he made a feast for all his servants. That must have been some feast, right? Wouldn't you like to have been there? So what do we have here? Well, we see Solomon beginning so well, and he loved the Lord and walked in the statutes as his father David walked, except he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. So we see kind of a chink in his armor, and we also see a chink in his armor, so to speak, because he married this daughter of the Egyptian king right off the bat, and then would marry many more as his reign went on. He did, at Gibeon, generously offer 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord, and God spoke to him, apparently that very night, saying this great statement, ask, what shall I give you? You know, Jesus also taught, didn't he? Ask and keep on asking, in a sense. Seek and keep on seeking, and knock and keep on knocking. And here God is saying, Solomon, ask, what shall I give you? So the question we would have, I would have, is, as the Lord asks you that question today, I can give you anything. I give you everything. I've already given you what you didn't ask for, grace and mercy. But what shall I give you? What would your answer be? It's a good thing to think about. Ask, what shall I give you? Well, we know Solomon did not ask for long life, riches, or death to his enemies, but asked for an understanding, hearing heart to judge the people. And God answers, giving him much more than what he asked for. That is our God, isn't he? He always outblesses us. We can never be a debtor to him. And we see that God not only gave him the wise and understanding heart, but he gave him riches and subdued his enemies. Now we read, though, however, that God does give Solomon a requirement that if he wanted to enjoy these blessings, he would have to walk in obedience to the word of the Lord. And we know that's where all his wisdom did not enable him really to keep a loving heart and an obedient heart to the Lord in spiritual matters. So as we pray for the wisdom of Solomon, we want to make sure we're not going to limit that wisdom just to earthly ruling and judging and so forth of others in a way, like Solomon would judge Israel. But we need to have that spiritual connection with the Lord always. That is the most important thing. And Solomon didn't have that. So his life, tragically, did not go well. How he ended up, I don't know. He finished the book Ecclesiastes well, and I know that we have a gracious, loving Lord. But what does it mean to us? Well, what a loving, gracious, kind God we serve. And as I mentioned, God is a debtor to no man. We can never outgive our God. Reminds me of the verse in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Our God is a good God. He will always outgive us. May we walk with him today. May we walk in holiness, meaning adhering to his word, being enabled by the Holy Spirit. So as we go to prayer now, may we pray for the nation. May we pray for the church, churches around the world. May we pray for the lost. And whatever the Lord puts on your heart, let's bring to him in prayer now this great, great opportunity to pray. Let's pray.